WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
What are you doing here?
It's Saturday.
I'm supposed to talk to Brandon. What are you... Oh, it's Rumble Night.
It's Rumble Night.
It's Rumble Night. Got it.
And I'm here on Saturdays too, bitch. So one night a week you can get me to play Fortnite.
I know. Tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RockRadioShow, at LindWord, come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/themchill to interact with us throughout the night. Because we have opinions, we have more than many of an opinion. Because it's a Royal Rumble, and it was...
It was different.
It was something.
People are salty. My goodness.
It's fun doing a show right after a pay-per-view because you see Twitter just sort of like implode sometimes. Like, okay, this is we'll get to this in a little bit, but I want to read the tweet. Cousin Sal, famous from the Jimmy Kimmel Show, and he does a lot of betting things. I can't believe my Bad Bunny 49ers under parlay already lost. Well played. We'll get to that. Yeah, it was... Okay, so I can understand why some people are mad at the show, but there's no reason to be mad, because you got to use your brain. Logic plays a lot into things that were accomplished tonight. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, I would say there was actually good storytelling tonight.
Yeah, a little bit. There was a lot of good storytelling tonight.
There was consistency from one match to the Rumble tonight. It was blatantly obvious.
But blatantly obvious doesn't mean it's bad.
no, blatantly obvious, especially considering what happened, is actually a good thing.
Which is the one thing most people want out of their wrestling, is it for it to be what, consistent? Consistent storytelling and all that? That's kind of what people want?
Consistent and I would say direct. And if you don't know what we're talking about, you didn't watch the Rumble, or you haven't watched it yet, spoilers, here's your chance to leave now. So we're talking about one Brock Lesnar. And I say we just start with him and we get that over with, because that is what the internet is currently raging about at present. So Brock Lesnar had not one, but two matches tonight.
He's working.
He's working, man. So first off was his match with one Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship.
No, wrong. Bobby Lashley.
Oh, I'm sorry. He faced off against Bobby Lashley. For the
WWE title, yeah.
That's where we're going.
That's where we're going. She already spoiler, she jumped the gun. She's already told you WrestleMania. Sorry, let's backtrack. Rewind.
I said spoilers.
I'm just saying rewind, back it up. Start again. Big men do big things. Lashley and Lesnar for the WWE Championship. They have a powerhouse match.
They had a good match. It was fun. You had a little back and forth. Brock had a good time. You could tell he had a good time.
Oh, it was so great. They were doing chain, like, collar and elbow taps for a while. They were trying to power each other. Then Brock drops a suplex. Lashley drops a suplex. And after the suplex, Lesnar goes, okay.
All right, kid.
I see you.
I have to bring this up. To the person that made Bobby Lashley's pant.
Oh, we're not going to talk about the one thing. We're going to talk about the other thing. Got it.
Yeah. Number one, we have to talk about the hand on the front that maybe kind of sort of looked a little phallic. Probably not the best choice of placement there, because if it wasn't phallic, it was pointing to something phallic. But also the black on black highlight on his pants did not show up on TV. And that's not necessarily a fault on the person that made them, but it's just, I'm going to say it. The hand on the front of his pants on the one side looked like a giant black dick. And then on the other side, he just had these blobs of black that I'm assuming are supposed to say Lashley on them. But you couldn't see it because of the way that they did the highlights on the black. So it's literally black on black on black on white. And so it's like, it was maybe not the best color choice there. Like, you could have done a slightly different highlight color and it would have been okay. Even done like a silver and it would have been fine. Like, I get he was going for black and white, like he's going for an aesthetic. But at the same time, you could have thrown like a corresponding matching color in there and it would have been fine. But it's not on anybody. It's just, it's an observation of watching the match. Because, like, he walked out and you just saw his pants and you're like, okay.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what is going on here? But yeah, this match was really good. It was really fun, very entertaining. Brock and Lashley had a back and forth. They, you know, were pushing each other's buttons. They were really actually having a decent match. I wouldn't mind seeing it again. And then we got the shenanigans.
So there was a spot that got where the referee got pushed in the corner. And then as the referee comes stumbling out of the corner, he takes an F5. Takes the legs of Lashley from an F5 to the face, and the referee is down. So you get the visual of Brock Lesnar pinning Bobby Lashley for a 15 count or whatever.
20, something like
whatever
that.
Whatever it could have been. So you have to start to wonder, if the referee is down, why isn't Paul Heyman getting the ref up when his man has the win? So, I'm going to tell you all something. Lindsay said something to me, because she was on, a 5-second delay?
Mm-hmm.
Would you repeat what you said to me?
Watch, Roman's going to come out and screw Brock.
She was saying it as it happened on my screen. She was 5 seconds behind. She saw it. She knew it was coming as it happened. She's the mole. Don't let her tell you any different.
Not the mole.
She's the mole.
Brock's the mole.
She has all the scoops. Just saying. She has all the scoops. So, Roman Reigns comes out, spears Brock Lesnar, then looks down at his old counsel for the title. Paul Heyman hands him the belt, and then Roman smashes the belt in the face of Brock Lesnar, giving Lashley the win. Also, Brock was in the Hurt Lock for like 2 minutes.
This was such a masterful turn. This was so, so good. Because there's many lingering questions coming out of this.
There are.
Mainly, why would Paul Heyman betray a 20-year relationship,
for a second time? Because he did it in late 2002.
Yeah, but then it wasn't 20 years old.
Yeah, but still.
Like, 2002, you can forgive. Now, it's, why would you betray such a long-standing partnership? What is Paul Heyman's motivation? Is he looking at Brock and thinking Brock's the past and Roman's the future? Did Roman offer him a better deal? Like, we know Paul Heyman is opportunistic. He will go for anything that he feels is going to benefit himself and whomever he is representing at the time. So if Roman offered him a better deal, of course he's going to jump at it. Friendship be damned. He has to look out for number one, right?
Is this a long con?
A 20-year con? Like, that's effort, man.
Or, it's not a 20-year con. It's a year-long con because Brock left right as the pandemic started. Heyman was out of a job. Roman got him a job. Brock didn't care about Heyman at the end of the day. So in some ways, this is all Brock's fault.
It is all Brock's fault. He brought it on himself. So I fully expect Paul Heyman to be front and center at 8 p.m. on Friday to explain exactly why he betrayed Brock Lesnar in this way. And we've been saying it for a while that Paul Heyman is playing a long game. He's been playing it for quite a while. At least since when he came with Roman Reigns, if not before. But we don't really know what's in his head, and we don't really know what he's up to. Tonight, we saw a part of that plan unfold in which he betrayed Brock Lesnar to Roman Reigns and cost Brock the title indirectly, which led to Brock Lesnar.
Hold on, before we get there, because we have to set up the other part.
Okay.
Let's talk about the other match before we get to the match, the Rumble. Because the opening of the show was Roman Reigns versus Seth freaking Rollins.
Seth, you fucking troll.
Go ahead.
No, let me get this out. You fucking troll.
Okay, before you...
Little shit.
Before you say anything else, Seth Rollins came out to this.
Shag, hump, insert, erect, lick, dick, shield.
He did. So, I would personally like to congratulate Seth Rollins on living rent free in Roman Reigns' head, because he has moved in, he is setting up furniture, he is repainting everything. Like, Seth Rollins is in Roman's head, 100%. Like, this was just for the troll before the match, where Seth came out to the Shield music, he did the entrance, he wore the gear, and then he's running around like the saucy little shit that he is.
And the look on Roman's face was like, you son of a bitch.
It's like, I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm going to kill you. And Seth is just like wiggling his eyebrows at him and everything. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, Ambrose didn't leave. Seth just absorbed him. They're one now. That's what happened. Dean Ambrose is alive and well in WWE.
Yeah.
It's just in the form of Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
So he did everything, even the roll, yeah. He did the roll over the barricade. He did all the things.
He did the whole thing, and he just taunted Roman with it. And Roman's just standing there glaring at him the whole time. And he's like, I'm going to kill you. Like, I'm legit going to kill you. And then they had a match, and it was a really, really good match.
Oh, God, it was so good.
Like, it was fantastic. I wouldn't mind seeing again, because then he was slightly anticlimactic, but it was really good. Because basically, you had Roman Reigns commit a felony. He choked Seth Rollins out.
But before we get to the choke, him going for the spear and Rollins hitting the pedigree, bringing it all back, yeah.
Yeah.
We had shield bomb through the table. We had shield bomb, the turnbuckle bomb in the corner.
So many references. All the references. And Seth is just toying with Roman the whole time, and Roman can't really recover from it.
So what led to the choke is he hit the spear, right?
Uh-huh.
And Rollins is still, like, Roman was out of it a little bit, so he, like, when Seth rolls to his side and sticks out the hand, come on, like old times, come on!
Do the fist bump, Roman, and Roman's like, all right, I've had enough of you. And just proceeds to choke Seth out, and of course, Charles Robinson is there like, okay, come on, and is doing the count, right? Or is checking on Seth, and Seth gets his hand on the rope, because he lifts Seth's hand up, and Seth drops it, and he grabs the rope, and which, of course, Roman has to release the hold after five. So Charles Robinson is like, all right, one, two, three, four, five, and Seth, and Roman refuses to let go of Seth, so they end the match.
I'm going to stop you really quick. The lifting of the hand spot, one of my favorite spots in wrestling with the dudes in the submission. It's the best. It's one of the best spots ever. Because then you get the whole big comeback most times. Go ahead.
Well, I was sitting there, and I was, like, watching it. I'm like, is his hand under the rope? Because it looks like it's under the rope. Mm-hmm. And then when they picked it up and he dropped it, he grabbed the rope. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, he's, like, right there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, this was so, so good. And then Roman still got a hold of Seth. Then they're ringing the bell, and they're trying to pull him apart. And Roman won't let go. He won't let go. Like, he's just enraged. He's snapped. He's pissed.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's going to exact his revenge on Seth, no matter what, because he's super pissed. So finally, Roman lets go of Seth, but he's not done. He has a moment of clarity, and he just gets this look on his face where he's like, I'm just going to end him. I'm just going to do the world a favor, and I'm just going to end him. Like, Roman goes from, like, nothing to murder in no time flat. He goes over, he gets a chair, and then he proceeds to beat the ever-living snot out of Seth Rollins.
And it started with the same exact chair shot Seth did to him to break the Shield.
It was, like, so, so good. It's like, yes! All the callbacks, all the references, all the things that we've been waiting for. Finally, it all comes full circle. And finally, Seth gets the comeuppance that he deserved all those years ago, because that is the one thing from the Shield breakup that never really happened. Roman never really got his full revenge on Seth. Dean got it. Roman didn't. And by the time they got around to it, it was kind of like, yeah, no, we're not really going to do the thing. In this match, they finally had Roman snap, and they finally had Roman get his revenge on Seth for what happened. Like, it was just so beautiful and perfect and wonderful. And it's like, God, yes, thank you.
What they did was they put an end to the Shield, officially.
Once and for all.
Yeah.
It's dead.
Roman Reigns buried the Shield at the end of the match. That's it. It's over, done with. You can't go back to it. You told that story. It's finished.
No reunions. No nothing. Yeah, the only thing missing was the Mania stage. Yep, that was it.
We're gonna talk about Mania here in a minute.
But so Roman leaves with his title intact, but he doesn't want Brock to leave with his title. So Roman and Paul Heyman go for Brock and cost Brock his title, which leads us to the Royal Rumble.
There you go. Ties it all together.
Ties it all together. And this Rumble, the men's side, I will admit, okay, and this is not a knock on anybody, but it was a tad lackluster.
Mid-card Rumble.
They got everybody pretty much on that they could get on. I think the only person that maybe didn't get in was Apollo Crews.
But I never saw him announce. Brent said he did. I never did.
Yeah, I never saw him announce, but, like, Aziz and Cruz didn't make it in, but, like, they got pretty much everybody else in, and you're just kind of sitting there, and you're waiting for the surprises, and you're waiting for the surprises, and they're not coming, and it's like, okay, alright, well, what are the surprises gonna be? Like, we did have a couple, like, Shinsuke Nakamura finally got cleared. He came in at number two.
He was in fact number two. AJ Styles started off at number one doing his Shawn Michaels entrance, because he spent some time with Shawn, and, you know, he's coming in at number one, so, you know, you gotta reference the whole thing. But then you had a bunch of just guys, Austin Theory, who they were trying to make, who did all the holding on to the rope spots most of the match, Robert Roode, Ridge Holland, Montez. Damian wasn't in as long as many people thought he would be.
Yeah, Damian just was kind of in and out, and that was it.
AJ Styles eliminated a lot of people. AJ Styles had a good rumble.
Mm-hmm.
For what it was. Number eight was Sami Zayn, which was followed by number nine,
Johnny Knoxville. I have to give respect where respect is due to Johnny Knoxville. He took a series of bumps tonight. They welcomed him with open arms to WWE. And yeah, so good on him for doing what he did. He didn't do a lot. I will admit, he didn't do a lot, but he did take several bumps, and...
He took everyone's... he took a couple of finishers.
Yeah. Including Montez Ford's to the nuts.
Right to the nuts.
Like, no more kids for Johnny Knoxville for a while. But yeah, this... Like, Johnny did well.
Well,
like,
hold on.
Did well.
Hold on. At this point, is there anything left of his nuts? Because he's had he's had a lot of issues down there, so I don't know if there was anything left to begin with. So maybe he really didn't, because he's broken it before. So
he's Johnny Knoxville, though it grows back, right?
It does not work like that. If it doesn't,
yeah,
grow.
But he's Johnny Knoxville. Like you don't, he's not human.
You don't it doesn't be. You can't recreate it.
You mean it's not like your liver?
No. No. But Ridge put Johnny on the apron, and then Sammy was able to kick his head off, and then Sammy quickly was eliminated by AJ Styles. Speaking of AJ, really quick, when Robert Roode got in the ring and AJ had a stare off, thank you, crowd. You remember them with a TNA chant.
That was a nice little moment between Bobby and AJ. It's like, oh, yes, yes, we all remember when Robert Roode was a thing and he was badass. And he was Bobby Roode. And yeah, I miss Bobby Roode a lot. I wish Bobby would come back to us. If you want to do a little something between AJ and Bobby, I think we'd all be fine with it. Because there were a lot, and I mean a lot of Impact references tonight.
Well,
Like you do.
Roode was eliminated too early. No. He was around as long as his position is right now. Omos got rid of some people. It came in at number 11 right after Angelo Dawkins. So, when Damian got eliminated, it was all because of Chad Gable's plan. He went, you the biggest guy, you go after the big guy. And then the big guy eliminated the other big guy, so there went Damian. So we never saw the priest, we never saw the Damian side of the priest. We only saw the priest. So, maybe the Damian and Omos are gonna go. I don't know.
It was a nice little spot that you had everybody team up together to get Omos out. And then AJ was finally the one to do it, which means Omos and AJ's feud is not done. It will continue. Probably for Mania.
Maybe. We had Ricochet, Chad Gable, Dominic, Happy Corbin, Dolph Ziggler, Sheamus, Rick Boogs, who cut his hair.
I don't like it.
So when it happened a couple weeks ago, I legitimately thought it was Bron Breakker.
Yeah, him coming out in the singlet, I was like, wait, is that... Because I just saw him from the back for a second, because I looked down at my computer real quick, and it was like, oh, wait, is that Bron Breakker? Because all I saw was the singlet. And the big jack dude, and it's like, oh, wait, no, that's Rick Boggs. I mean, the hair doesn't look bad. I just really like the messy top knot whole look thing that he had going on. Like, it fit him better than I feel like what he has now, but that's my personal opinion. And as long as he likes it, that's all that matters.
So the happy people had some happy times. Him and Madcap Moss, they kind of had some eliminations, you know, working together, doing all the things. And
okay, wait. I need to say this. Can we please discuss Madcap Moss's gear? Because I'm going to be honest. He looks like Corbin's boy toy. He does. With the little suspenders and the shorts and the shoes and no shirt. He looks like Corbin's little boy toy. Not even that little. So please, can we just maybe reexamine this?
So at that point, you've gotten through a couple main eventers, but most of the mid-card. Until we got to number 20, which was Matt Riddle.
All right, business picking up.
Number 21, which was Lindsay's number in the Rumble, had...
Drew McIntyre! See, he came through for us. We had a nice little coffee chat a while ago, and he came through in the Rumble for us. At least for me.
At least for you. Then we got Kevin.
And I had a shot.
You had a shot. We'll get to Kevin Owens and Rey Mysterio. Then there was Kofi Kingston, who apparently blew the spot.
Yeah, Kofi was going for the I saved myself Rumble spot that he does every year. And unfortunately, he caught himself, but he did not catch himself well enough to make sure his feet did not touch the ground, and so unfortunately Kofi was eliminated, and everybody was like, oh, you should have let it slide, and it's like, no, because if they let it slide, then everybody would complain, because they caught it on camera. Like, everybody very clearly saw them catch it on camera that both of his feet touched the ground. Like, it would be one thing if one foot touched, but both feet very clearly hit the ground, and so it's like they have no choice. They have to eliminate him. Because you see the ref sitting there talking to him about it, where he's like, no, both feet hit, you gotta go.
Like, he looked over at, like, production going, do we call him out? what are we supposed to do here? They're like, he's waiting for someone to tell him in his ear. It's like, is this legit? And they're like, yep. So he's out.
Yep. Like, it was a bit of a snafu.
Well, a little bit. Then we had Otis. We then had Big E. Then we had the first real surprise of the night. Bad Bunny.
San Benito came back to us. I'm very happy. I mean this with all sincerity. If Bad Bunny ever decides that he wants to stop doing music, he needs to get signed to WWE. Like, he has some mad, mad skills in the ring. Like, they need to seriously consider signing him. I'm sorry. Very talented individual. And then he proceeded to watch a car wreck. The poor guy.
He did. So he came in, did a couple of spots. He did a Canadian Destroyer as
which
well.
Was epic.
It was. Then you had Shane O'Mac at number 28, which was my number. Shane tried. You had Hometown Boy Randy Orton at 29. And then RK-Bro started clearing house a little bit. All for number 30 to show up. And that man's name was Brock Lesnar. And Brock came in mad as hell, ready to destroy some folk. Like, he gets in there and he starts waylaying on people. And then there's a spot where Riddle's like keeps looking over. Oh, not my turn yet? Oh, not my turn yet? Okay, wait, Mr. Lesnar, sir, can I have one? Can you suplex me now, Mr. Brock? And he eventually did.
Matt Riddle was so excited. It was just stupid.
So he went on a rampage. He eliminated a few people, including Randy Orton, and the crowd booed on that one, because Randy's the hometown boy. And then it was down to Drew and Brock, and then Brock Lesnar wins the Royal Rumble.
In which, you know, the internet just rages. And I will agree with one thing, that we have no explanation throughout the night of Brock getting his way back into, or in, not back into, but into the Rumble in the first place after having a title match. I'm okay with this, and I'm going to tell you why. Because it gives you a reason to watch either Raw or SmackDown, where you will get your explanation probably as to how or the means of which Brock Lesnar used, which was probably intimidation, to get into the Royal Rumble.
It is also not the first time. It's also not the last time someone who recently wrestled in a previous match gets in the Royal Rumble when never officially announced to be in the match. It's what they do.
It's like Paul Heyman. We don't know why Paul Heyman did what he did, but you damn well better believe that a lot of us will be watching SmackDown to hear Paul Heyman's reasoning if we get it. Like, it's a reason to continue to watching the show. You don't need everything explained necessarily up front. Is it nice? Yeah, sure. It's always nice to have the reasoning. It's always nice to get the storytelling, but we got the storytelling tonight because you had Roman screw Brock. You had Paul Heyman turn, and in retaliation, Brock Lesnar got into the Royal Rumble and he won, which means that now Brock Lesnar can finally get his match with Roman. It's the one thing he was denied because, unfortunately, Roman got COVID. And that's not any fault of Roman's. It just happens, right? But Brock was denied his title shot with Roman, so he went for the other title. He won it. But he wasn't satisfied with that. He still wanted Roman. He still jerked Roman's chain, and he paid for it. He paid for it tonight, 1,000%. So now Brock's going to, you know, again, get revenge on Roman. And he's done it in the one way that Paul Heyman can't necessarily stop him. It's a guaranteed title shot. Paul Heyman, for all his machinations, for all his genius, for everything he's good at, he cannot get the title shot taken away from Brock. Because Brock won it fair and square, as far as we know. Now, what the reasoning or how he got in, that's left to be determined. And Heyman might be able to work his way around that. I don't know, though.
And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how he got in. He's Brock Lesnar. He deserves a spot in the Royal Rumble. He can go right up to Adam Pearce and go, I want spot. Okay. That's all it has to be. Nothing major, nothing. It's not complicated because it's happened many of time. I think Roman Reigns has done it.
Yeah.
So it's... you know, it's a thing. It happened. So, yeah. Overall, this men's Royal Rumble match was average. All of them aren't going to be classics. You had a couple big spots, big celebrity spots, which were cool. And you had Brock Lesnar coming in and, you know, dominating. AJ Styles looked strong early on. He carried in that first half. Brock got the ending. I mean, the Rumble match itself is fine. It's not a memorable Rumble, but it's not the worst Rumble I've ever seen because there's been some bad ones.
Yeah, theirs was a really bad one. Like, this was fine. I mean, it wasn't... The thing that it has going against it was it wasn't terribly exciting. But then again, you also didn't have the number of returning stars like what the Women's Rumble did. Like, the Women's Rumble was really, really good. We're going to talk about it here in a minute or two. But the men did not have those same level of legends and surprises. They pretty much got everybody on the roster in the Rumble this year for the main roster, with the exception of a few people. And it kind of goes to show the lackluster star power that WWE has in their mid, upper mid, and main event card. Because your main eventers were in separate matches for this show. So they weren't necessarily in the Rumble outside of Brock. So that kind of left it to your upper mid card to mid card performers to carry the Rumble. And again, it's not any fault of theirs that, you know, people just weren't excited, but it goes to show the lack of storytelling and the lack of just general ingenuity on creative and WWE in general, where it's like you don't get excited anytime anybody shows up. It's like, oh, it's this person. Oh, it's this person. That's a lack of creative development. It's not, oh my God, it's this person, yay. It's, oh.
Yeah, and they also stacked it on the back half. Your main eventers, Drew, Kevin, and Randy, and Brock, were in the Big E, were in the back. They weren't in the front half. AJ was the only real main eventer in the front half. Everything else was mid-card.
Yep.
So before we get to the Women's Royal Rumble, before we even get to the women's title match, something else we need to talk about. Did you know Lindsay streams on YouTube? She streams Genshin Impact. You can go to lindsayward.rackradioshow.com and check it out. Subscribe. Ding. Hit the button. Follow. Ring and all the things.
Do it. Ring that bell.
Ring that bell. Anyway. No, but what we need to talk about first before we get into the more serious stuff is the mixed tag team match.
I don't think it's fair to call this a mixed tag team match. I think this needs to be a 3-on-2 because Beth Phoenix's hair will not be denied. It was a life force and a power unto itself. It aided and assisted throughout this match. So I'm calling this a 3-on-2 Beth Phoenix, Edge, and Beth's hair versus Miz and Maryse.
So Maryse played her role in this matchup so well.
Before we get into that, we need to talk about Maryse's outfit. That was not PG.
No.
I mean, she looked fantastic, but she's going to look fantastic in everything she does, right? Because she's Maryse and she's beautiful. But it wasn't really meant for wrestling, and that's fine. But there was a lot of crack going on. And I mean a lot of crack. And there was a lot of like semi-inappropriate shots going on there.
There were, which is fine. But yeah, so this matchup was fine. You had Beth and Ed matching gear. They couldn't match hair because Beth is just on a whole nother level.
Beth's hair, I don't know who did it, but it was epic tonight. Like, it was seriously epic. Adam Copeland wishes he could get his hair to do that.
Yeah. And then they had what you would call a really solid match, an entertaining match. Maryse, again, playing her part so well.
Oh, she's so good.
There was a point where it's the hot tag time. It's like Edge and Miz have done their deeds, and it's like time for the hot tag, and the women are kind of come in. And the look on her face was like, Miz, Mike, stop him, well, grab his leg, and he tries, and then Maryse runs in, tries to stop it, and she couldn't, and then doom came upon her, as it were, in the form of Beth Phoenix, and Beth whoops some ass. You saw it, you could see the whole whooping of the ass, because all you saw was, anyway.
Yeah, that's all you saw was Maryse's ass.
But we got some callbacks with the purse, with the brick in it, and then Maryse, and we'll get to that in a minute. You had Beth and Miz get into it a little bit, too.
Which?
Beth manhandled Miz. Miz doing his part so, so well. So there's that. And Maryse comes off. She does a hurricanrana off the top rope on the Edge. Well done. There were a couple. Then we had a double skull-crushing finale. Thought it could be it. It was not it. Then Edge and Beth recover. And then we had the double spear into the double glam slam. It was great finish.
This was a great match. I enjoyed this so, so much. Like, this was so good. And I mean, if Aunt Betty would like to come back and take over the women's division, I would be on board for that wholeheartedly. Like, I'm down for that, actually. Like, please, Beth, come back to us, because this is the Beth Phoenix that we deserve.
It is 100%. The Beth Phoenix we deserve. Okay, I need to. I have to bring it up because it was a topic. I saw it on Twitter, and we have to talk about it. Jimmy Smith. Oh, Jimmy. So, he's recapping the events of everything, and while commentating, he forgot one word.
Yeah.
The word was at.
Yeah.
Instead of the word at, he said in, and he said, come in me, come in my wife. Instead of come at me, come at my, you don't come at me, you don't come at my wife. He said, come in me, come in my wife. Yeah.
Moving on.
Oh, couple things. No, I think that's everything. Yeah. All right, we can move on. Let's move on to the women's title match, shall we?
This was so good. It was literally on fire.
Straight fire.
So apparently the pyro
from the Rumble winner, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah, from the Women's Royal Rumble winner, got set off on the WrestleMania sign, and I guess they didn't make the WrestleMania sign flame-proof this year because it literally caught on fire. To the point that they had to evacuate the section, they had to lower the sign, they had to put the fire out, and then they had to raise the sign back up and refill the section so that way it was all good. And I will say that this match suffered a little bit because the crowd was more distracted by the sign than they were in the match, but they got them back at the end.
They did. They worked hard to get back. The sign also went off when Brock won.
Yeah.
It lit again.
Yeah, I don't know why they set the pyro off the second time knowing it was going to catch fire, but here we are. Choices were made.
They're quickly probably getting a new sign made.
Yeah, probably going to get that taken care of ASAP, so that way they can set pyro off. But yeah, this was phenomenally good.
Both women worked really hard. Crowd was distracted because, well, the sign was legit melting on the people. So they were distracted by the sign. But these two women went to work. They delivered a really good physical match between the two. The manhandle slam finished it off the middle rope, which was a good spot because she went for it once. I was like, she's never going to get her up. Well, using the ropes helps with that and takes it, goes through it and makes it happen. So it was a good match. It's not a 5-star classic. It never was going to be, but Becky and Doudrop had a good wrestling match, and Doudrop showed her worth, which is what we talked about the other day, where that's what we expected. So I can't say I was disappointed by what happened.
I think it was really good. I wouldn't mind seeing it again. I don't know if we'll get it because, well, you know, we're heading into Rumble or out of Rumble into Mania. And I think they have other plans possibly for Becky, but we'll see how that goes because they may not. They may be pointing the Women's Rumble winner at someone else. We'll have to see.
So that leaves the Women's Royal Rumble match then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, we talked about Maryse and her not being PG. Just remember that for what we're about to talk about. So, Sasha Banks entered number one as she declared she was back on SmackDown last night. She's back ready to go. She was ready to rumble, and she was Sailor Moon.
She was super cute.
Number two in the ring was Melina. So, it's been a long, long time since we've seen Melina in a WWE ring. And she made sure she was able to claim it as her own.
So Melina did the split, and then, you know, Melina decided to bounce on the ring apron.
A few times.
And, you know, she was basically wearing in the front, the way that her pants were cut, looked like she was just wearing a pair of panties with, like, cording or string or rope or something going across her thighs. And that's what she looked like from the front. Very distracting. Not in a bad way. Just, it was distracting because you're trying to figure out what was going on there and you're like, wait, what? And so, yeah, it was like the bouncing was just like, okay. Like, otherwise it was fine because it's Melina, right? So we're used to her doing the split and everything else, but it's just the bouncing was just like a little bit weird. And then Sasha mocking it.
After eliminating Melina, mocked it, reclaiming the ring as her own as she did the split and bounced up and down.
Yeah, it was like, it was just a little awkward. It's like, I don't know what's going on here, but we're not going to touch it. We're just going to leave it alone.
So those were the first two. We had Tamina, we had Kelly Kelly. Not sure it was Kelly Kelly, but it was in fact Kelly Kelly.
I mean, she looked good.
Yeah.
She's changed herself so much, it's hard to recognize her. Like, she walked out, and it's like, wait, who is that? I was like, oh, that's Kelly.
Mm. We had Liv, Queen Zelina, who had the biggest surprise elimination of them all to start things off by eliminating Sasha Banks.
Yeah, that was surprising. That was really surprising.
We had Bianca, we had Dana, we had Michelle McCool. Then we had Sonya Deville in her jacket.
She looked good.
Because when she's in her jacket, she's an authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
So she went over to do commentary. Then we had Natalya. Sonya's on commentary, and number 13 was who? Cameron.
She back.
She back. Cameron's back. And the commentary is filling Sonya in on, oh, that's Naomi. She broke in with Naomi. They were friends. Oh, okay. Okay. I see what it is. Okay. So, she quickly took off her jacket and got rid of Cameron.
Which led to Naomi coming out and whooping up on Sonya.
And getting rid of Miss Sonya.
You know, like you do. So that feud continues.
It does. Go ahead.
We had Carmella and Rhea show up next.
We did.
And then we were graced by the queen.
Woo!
Miss Charlotte Flair. She made her way into the ring, and then we got graced by another queen. Who had a right to censor anything she damn well pleased. Because we had, as a surprise entrant into the Rumble, Ivory in right to censor mode. I'm not going to lie, I popped.
Oh, it was great. The music, and everything, and she's just trash talking and all the entire time.
And Rhea very quickly got rid of her. But yeah, this was a perfect little, you know, moment to have Ivory in the Rumble. It's like, okay, all right, that's good.
So she was yelling at her the entire time and yelled at her. She was limiting her, and, you know, it was awesome. It was great to see. So it was like, if you remember back, and it plays into later, but so in the first Women's Royal Rumble, you had Molly Holly and you had Ivory in it. I don't know if Ivory was in it or whatever, but they both were in previous Royal Rumbles as their normal selves. The second time around, they changed gimmicks. So Molly was one on Molly's second one. We got right to censor Ivory on the next go around. It's good. And then number 19. We had
number 19.
We had some Prima.
She rolled up, and then we got hardcore country, y'all. She got the song. She got the title. She got everything. Mickie James rolled up to the Royal Rumble in Mickie fashion. She looked fantastic, and yeah, she had some fun in the Rumble.
She did have some fun in the Rumble. We had Alicia Fox at number 21, which was Lindsay's number in the Rumble. Not as good as the other 21.
It's a balance.
So Rhea Ripley's in the ring and she's dominating. And number 22, it's Nikki A.S.H. And Nikki comes up and tries to eliminate her. She came into the ring from behind and tries to eliminate her. Was not to be. We then had Summer Rae.
Okay, we need to talk about Summer Rae for a second, because Summer Rae dropped like 6 curse words on her way to the ring, including, I think, at least 2 F-bombs.
Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah. And her and Natty did the deed as we all thought they would do. They slapped the hell out of each other.
Dynasty-esque slap fight for the win.
It was great. So much fun. And we had a callback with Charlotte. Charlotte was able to help Natty get rid of Summer. So yeah, that was good stuff.
Very good stuff. Nice little callbacks there.
Nikki Bella's back. And then the one I didn't even cross my mind, Sarah Logan.
I saw that she was rumored, like, earlier today that she was potentially going to show up. And I was like, okay, well, that makes sense. And we got a nice little moment between Sarah and Liv where Liv's like, oh, my God, it's my friend. My friend's here. And they're going to, like, embrace each other. And Nikki and Brie make quick work of Sarah Logan, and then Liv tries to get revenge, and well, unfortunately, that costs Liv the match, because she gets eliminated by Brie, but then we had the embracing of Sarah and Liv afterwards, which was very nice.
Yeah. So for people wondering about Liv, she lasted a long time in the Rumble.
Yeah, keep in mind, Liv entered in at number 6. And she made it all the way to at least number 25.
Yeah. Didn't get any eliminations. But as we learned, Dolph Ziggler's been in 15 Royal Rumbles with 12 eliminations. That's not a good stat to tell anyone, by the way.
Yeah, no, that's a bad stat.
That's a very bad stat. Just want to let the crew know at WWE, if you're going to tell someone, hey, he's been in 15 Rumbles, only eliminated 12, he doesn't get one at Rumble. So, not a good
average.
He
needs more eliminations. That's what he needs.
That's what he needs. He needs a lot more eliminations. Yeah. Yeah. Then we had Lita in this one.
Who looked fantastic.
Instead, we had Mighty Molly, the number 28.
Okay, before we get to 28, I just need to throw this out there in the universe. I would be down for a Mighty Molly Nikki Ash feud.
Oh yeah, because they got into it as Molly was getting to the ring, and Nikki's like, there's only gonna be one superhero.
I would be down, and I would be here for that.
Give it to us on Raw on Monday. It'd be fun. It doesn't
have to be anything big or like huge, but like just a match between the two, or a little feud between the two, a little back and forth, where like maybe Mighty Molly helps Rhea. That would be fine.
Yeah. Oh, 28.
All right. Talk about her number 28.
She's back.
Let's get a little rowdy, because Rowdy Ronda Rousey is back, y'all. And this gear is so much better for her. Please let her continue to wear this gear.
I don't think she's going to continue wearing this gear. She may wear something similar, but this was very plain for her.
I liked it, though. Like, it fits her.
You keep the same style, but you can change up the colors and everything.
Yeah.
So Ronda comes in, and she just starts whooping on some folk.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are like, oh, Ronda's back. Oh, crap. Oh, the Bellas were not happy. They got a lot of Ronda. Shotzi was 29, and the number 30 was Shayna Baszler, and the crowd popped when the two of them smiled at each other, and Ronda looked back and went, that's my friend.
And unfortunately, Shayna got very quickly routed by Charlotte.
Yeah.
And it came down to the queen and Ronda.
Did.
And Charlotte was easily defeated in rapid fashion by Ronda. She was taking no prisoners tonight, and she wins the 2022 Women's Royal Rumble match.
The way it needed to be. If you're bringing her back, that's how it's supposed to be. I can understand people will be upset. Why didn't Bianca get her spot? Plenty of time. She can still head to WrestleMania. They'll still think she's headed to WrestleMania in a title match.
Yeah, you still have Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And you best believe the women are going over. So.
We think. And we think.
We think. And worst case, you have other ways to get Bianca into WrestleMania, to get everybody into WrestleMania. Like, they set up the potential for a lot of stuff tonight. Like, you're just sitting there and you're looking at who's available and you're looking at the potential matches and you're like, especially on the women's side, and you're like, yeah, do it. Do the thing.
Yeah.
But I think, at least for Ronda, they're probably going to do Ronda versus Charlotte.
I think that's the idea. I think we're going to go Charlotte and Ronda at Mania, because that's the direction they need to go. Because I think I said it on Thursday, if Ronda's back, she needs to be on Fox. That's where she should be. Makes the most sense, sports-wise. She's the biggest name they can have, crossover name they can have at that point. Bianca has many roads to get to Becky. Monday, we're going to see Becky and Ronda face-to-face. We're going to tease it. So just so we're aware, we're going to probably tease it on Monday. And if they go Bianca or go Becky and Ronda, that's fine. It's perfectly acceptable. I don't think anyone's going to complain. Because you can do many different things. But everyone who's in their spots, they're not losing out. Because now, as Lindsay mentioned, there's matches with where you go. Ronda versus Bianca? I like that. I like Rhea and Bianca. Or Rhea and Ronda. Some good matches on the horizon. She's going to be around for the year. This is not a one and done. She'll be around. She's going to be around. That's a good thing.
And I'm down.
I'm 100% down for it. This was a much better Rumble match. It was a lot of the surprises and everything sort of.
I feel like all the surprises went into the women's, and then they just kind of did the thing in the men's.
They did. Because you put in more legend. People were complaining, why did you have so many legends? Because it made the Rumble more entertaining. Let's be real. It made it more entertaining. And there's nothing wrong with that. So, we have some housekeeping we need to address.
We do.
So, let's talk about the Royal Rumble entry contest. Pick'em entry contest winners.
Okay.
On the men's side, number 30 was the winner. That goes to Wit.
Go Wit!
On the men's side, or on the women's side, it was number 28. I win. She's excited for Whit. She doesn't give me no excitement for me. Got it. I appreciate you too. It was not right. It wasn't right. So then we have housekeeping on the other side for pick'em results. We both went 2-4.
Okay.
Along with the wheel. Okay.
Okay. I'm not offended.
You should be offended. I should be offended. We all should be offended. The number one person out of all the pick'em results went 4-2. Want to take a guess who?
April.
Yep. The Eightball beat everybody.
I'm offended now.
We should all be ashamed of ourselves. We should all be ashamed of ourselves losing to the Eightball.
Well, I mean, there's not a lot of control that we have over that. I'm going to be honest.
There really isn't. There really isn't. But yeah, I enjoy the Royal Rumble as a whole. Did some the couple finishes not go as you thought? Yeah. But they all made sense in the end. It all played out the way it needed to be. Everything told the story. Whether you like the story or not, that's on you. But everything that played out told a story.
I mean, I really do have to applaud the fact that they carried the story from the two title matches where all the way through to the Rumble, all the way to the end of the show, that there was a consistent running story where it's not just Roman screwed Brock and then that's the last we hear of it until SmackDown. It's no, Brock took matters into his own hands. Brock said, oh, hell no, we're not doing this. You're not going to fuck me. I'm gonna come for you. And I'm going to do it in a way that Heyman can't save you. Because if anybody knows Paul Heyman, it's Brock Lesnar. And that's not to say that Brock doesn't have an advocate of his own to replace Heyman.
And here's the thing. They had to fix the situation from day one.
They did.
They had to get back on track for WrestleMania. And this could have been the way the entire time. Brock could have been the plan all along. He was never supposed to be WWE champion. That's the thing. He never was, but they had to go there to tell the story of what they did. They figured it out. So, good stuff all around.
Very good stuff all around. I enjoyed this show. I thought it was fine. I think it did drag in a couple places, but I thought the matches that got offered were good. They were entertaining. It did its job. Like, was this the best Rumble I've ever seen? No, absolutely not. But it was good.
I will say this, it was 100 times better than last year's Rumble without fans.
Damn right.
This had 44,000 supposedly fans in attendance. Probably more in the 30,000, 35,000 range. But still, lots of people, the most attended WWE show since the pandemic started.
Not a bad thing.
But I say we're done?
I say we're done, so you've got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Next Saturday night, Midnight FCB Radio returns in this time slot, when we would still be going and talking and doing all the things, but we're done. This is not CB Radio. We don't go to 2 here. We only go to 105. So, there's that. Sunday night, tomorrow night, Russell Talk Radio, Tim and Bram will review the Royal Rumble in their own fashion, and they'll probably disagree with everything we just said. So you get contrasting opinions and stuff, and Brent will probably rage and rant and do all those things that Brent likes to do.
As long as you get to play the Shield thing again.
I do. We get to play it one more time because to them, the Shield's not dead. It's just dead now. Anyway, Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for the Rack. And it's normal slot. We'll have NXT. We'll have news, notes, and some sort of discussion. We'll figure it all out. It's Rack Live, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKSUCK. Or
Linz M. Ward.
In the Fortnite, I am Shabber, Epic Games. So, why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LINSWRD. And you can check out my YouTube, LinzWard.RockRadioShow.com, or search for me, Linz Ward, on YouTube. Please ring the bell, like, subscribe, do all the things. I greatly appreciate it because I stream Genshin Impact Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and on the weekends. Follow the Twitter or the YouTube to get the information for the weekend stuff. And, you know, I'm trying to build the channel, so if you guys could just even go over and subscribe, like it, whatever, I would really appreciate it. You don't necessarily have to watch. I'd like it if you watch. But if you could just go ring the bell, I'd really appreciate it. And you can also, you know, go check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back Thursday. Till then, bye. We'll be right back.
WildTalkRadio.com.